All right, well, good morning, and we are kicking off this new series. I know that we had the switch up. You thought we were still in vertical, but we are starting this new series called Home. And thank you guys so much for coming out. And my name is Micah Seth. I am the youth minister here at Two Rivers Church, and I'm just pumped that you guys are here and just ready to start this new series called Home. And I figured it was only fitting as we kind of start this series called Home that I would make myself at home. So you guys get a shoeless preacher today. So it was the series, I know, and this is free. So I was just kidding, sorry. Also that, and because Dave isn't here to tell me no. So it's one of the two. But before we start, I kind of wanted to share a little story. I know, how many of you guys played sports growing up? Hopefully a majority of you, whether it was like rec league or whether it was, you know, whatever, you guys all kind of had this sport growing up. You might have tried multiple, you might have had a lot, but I know there was one in particular for me. They just kind of worked out that I started, that I fell in love with and just played kind of my whole life, and that was volleyball. And so I'm not sure how many of you guys have ever played volleyball, whether it was with middle school and you guys played for the middle school team, or it might have been high school or college, or played in some adult leagues. It could have been a family reunion game that got a little too intense, and now you don't talk to some of those family members anymore. I don't know. But when I kind of started playing volleyball when I was in fifth grade, and my mom was signing up my siblings for like this little courthouse rec league in Virginia Beach, like just this small little recreation league just to kind of get us active and all that stuff. And my older sister started playing first. She started jumping into volleyball and fell in love with it for that courthouse league. And then my older brother decided that he wanted to join, and they had like a co-ed team. So they both played together. And then my younger sister started playing volleyball for the courthouse. And they kind of had this deal where if you signed three kids up, if you had three memberships, then you get one for free. And so that's a perfect opportunity for my parents having four kids. And my mom asked if I wanted to play because I was going to be able to play for free. And so at first I was a little hesitant because in my mind, in fifth grade, volleyball was a girl's sport. And so me being in fifth grade was thinking, you know, the last thing that I want when I enter into middle school, which is already hard enough as it is to fit in, is to be playing a girl's sport, right? Like, that's just a recipe for disaster. And so my loving mother signed me up anyways. And so as the season started, I began to realize that I really enjoyed playing. You know, of course, it was frustrating trying to understand the mechanics and the rules of this sport, but I found that I wasn't too bad at it. I enjoyed playing. It was a lot of fun. And so one season of like this rec league then turned into another, and then it turned into me playing for like this club team, and then it turned into me playing for my high school. It turned into me playing a bunch of beach volleyball and like our club team doing really well. We got second in the nation one year, and then we got third in the nation the next. We started deteriorating, but it was still a lot of fun. And then that kind of turned into great friends that I made throughout my experience of playing volleyball that I still talk to them today. And eventually it kind of changed my life, or changed the course of my life from fifth grade and on, and defined my life from then, and it's still going because I still love playing that sport. And all from a sport that I didn't think that I would even like when I was in fifth grade eventually became, and it felt like, kind of a second home, like the community that was there and just the passion and the desire that I had to play that sport. And so today, we're going to go through and talk about a subject that some of you don't even necessarily know exists, or aren't aware that it exists, or rather the purpose of why this thing exists. And if you were to decide to get involved in it, and if you decide to jump into it, it will define and change the rest of your life, change the course of your life. If you decide to embrace this thing, it'll grow your relationship with God. If you embrace it, you'll be able to fight temptation from a whole new playing field. And if you embrace it, you will build solid and godly relationships with other people. You'll find a whole new meaning to the word purpose. And we'll start to feel kind of like a home away from home. And today we're going to be talking about the church. And it's this idea of making a decision as a Christian. And I'm speaking primarily to those that call themselves a Christian or call themselves a follower of God. It's the idea of making a decision as a Christian to move away from the saying of, you know, I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying to check off a box. I'm just going to attend a church and just kind of see how it goes, right? Like, I'm just going to see how this little church shopping thing goes. And then 6 years later, you're still attending and just seeing how it goes. And moving away from that to saying, I'm a Christian and I want to be the church. I want to be a part of the church and not just attend. And if you make this decision from going from attending a church to being and being a part of the church, it will shape the rest of your life. And I'm not sure how many of you guys are in this room are not necessarily a part of a church, and I'm not talking about attending, but rather being a part of this thing that God calls us to join and connect in, because God uses the church to direct your spiritual maturity. It could be directing your marriage in a positive light. It could be your family. It could be your work. It could be just your entire life. And so this morning, I wanted to emphasize the importance of being a member of a church and what the scriptures say about it. And so I kind of want to start off by saying, if you are here and you are new to this thing of faith and you're new to this whole Christ following or Christ Christian life living type thing, then my hope and my prayer for you is that as we kind of go through this, that you're able to see a glimpse of what being a Christ follower looks like and what it means to get connected with a church. And as we dive deeper into this topic, I wanted to briefly go through what the scriptures say about the church and its significance. And so today we're going to be kind of going through three different aspects of why is the church significant? Why do we need to get involved? What is the Bible saying about church? And the first is that you will be able to surround yourself with Christ-minded people, right? Like as you come to church, you are connecting and developing a growing relationship with people that share the same faith, that have love for you, that care for you. That is the first thing that we're going to be kind of going through, is that we are able to surround ourselves with Christ-minded people. The next significant and important aspect of church is that you submit yourself to godly leadership. And then lastly, we're going to go through that you become a part of God's mission. And what does that look like, being a part of a church? And so I'm going to pray for us and just kind of pray for this message and just pray that we're able to see truth in what the scripture says about this topic. And then we're going to continue to go through it together this morning. But God, I just thank you for today. And I just thank you for just this opportunity that we are here to just fellowship and just praise you. And God, I just pray that as we kind of go through this, that our hearts are open, that you speak to us and that we're just able to understand just more on this topic and that we're just able to just enjoy this time that we get with you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so kind of starting off this message this morning, we're going to look into the significance of joining a church and what surrounding yourself to Christ-minded people looks like. And so we're going to be going through Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. And before we kind of go into it, this section of Hebrews and the verses that we're going to be going through is kind of during a time of persecution and trials for a lot of the people that are reading these verses for the first time. And it's the idea, and a lot of their mind, is do we continue to fight through this? How do we continue to fight through this? And this is more of an encouragement for them, and that our faith is worth it. And so let's look at what Paul says here in verse 23. Hebrews 10, 23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And so I wanted to take time to read that scripture one more time, read those verses one more time, and I want you guys to look at the screen and see the highlighted words and see if you can connect any dots with what this is saying. So I'm going to read it one more time. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And I don't know if you guys notice anything consistent, but Paul is saying that this thing called Christianity, the way that we become more like Christ, is not done alone, but is done together, is done as a team. I know you guys all know the saying of like, there's no I in team. There definitely isn't an I in church either. And so he is saying through this time of their persecution, the people that are reading this, he's basically saying that I know this world seems broken, and I know that you guys are going through difficult times, but you have to stick together. You cannot split or separate from the group, or you guys are going to lose hope. You guys are going to lose your faith. And so even in our time where we feel like the world is just so divided between politics or protests or COVID or do I get the vaccine, do I not get the vaccine, whatever, we as Christians need to stick together so we do not lose that hope. We don't drive people away, and so many people are forgetting that. And Paul is reminding us that in times of trouble or in times where you feel discouraged or you have financial problems or marital problems or your kids are just being turds, that you come alongside one another. It happens. That you guys come alongside one another and you guys hold each other and you guys say, I got you. The church has always been meant to be done together, unifying. That we're supposed to get plugged into a church because we as humans are designed to have these relationships with other people. And we see it, right? Like we see it right in the beginning of Genesis. Genesis 2:18 says, the Lord God said, it is not good. It is not good for man to be alone. So I'll make a helper suitable for him. And God molded and created for Adam, who was the only man on earth at the time, a partner out of his rib to rely on and encourage each other. And the same is true for today, that we are not meant to live life alone. And I know that there's definitely a couple people or a few people in here that are listening and kind of agreeing with that whole idea of, you know, you're not supposed to live life alone, but your rebuttal or your argument might be, you know, I love Jesus. The whole idea of this hippie that lived 2,000 years ago that loves everybody and is just so great, I can get on board with that, but not the church. I don't like the church. I don't like church people. And so I heard a preacher say one time that if you were to ever say that sentence where you're like, man, I love Jesus, but I don't like the church. And the Bible calls the church Jesus' bride. It's like saying, man, I love Jesus, but I'm not a big fan of his wife. I mean, if you think about that, think about any of your friends. If you walked up to any of your friends and you're like, dude, you're my homie, or like, man, I love you, but your wife is special, right? Like, no guy would dab you up and be like, man, that's awesome. And you know what? I agree. You know, like, that's one thing we can agree on. Nobody's going to say that. And if you think that Jesus, who is the perfect husband, would be okay with that, that we don't love the church or that we separate from the church, that we are flawed in our thinking, that we are always meant to love the church. It's a part of that Christian walk. It's a part of that Christian life. And for the Christians that say that, you know, like they follow Christ, but is not really connected to the church or not really plugged in or involved with a home church or have a home, it's like the idea of after this message, you guys come up to me and you're like, hey, like, dude, that's awesome that you used to play volleyball. I used to play too. I'm like, no way, that's so cool. Where'd you play? And you're like, oh, you know, in my room, you know, I hit it against the wall a couple times. I think I got up to 20 one time. Pretty impressive. Like, that would be crazy. We need to be a part of the church because there's unity in it. Not that everybody in the church is perfect. Nobody is saying that. But the church is full of flawed people, but they work together. When you lose your job or you lose a loved one or when you get a diagnosis that you didn't want or you didn't expect, when you're hurting in any way, you need godly people in your life that are going to come alongside you and say, I know this world is tough, but I'm here. I want to pray with you. I want to encourage you. How can I help? Because if you think about it, where else are we going to get that, right? Like, if you're not connected or you don't have a home church, you call yourself a Christian, but you're not plugged into a church, where else are you going to get that community? Harris Teeter? You know, the person that's checking you out is like, hey, quick question, do you want paper or plastic? And also, tell me all the things in your life that trouble you and how can I pray for you? Like, that just doesn't happen. We find it in the church. We cannot go through this broken world on our own, and we can see that. And so next, that was the first thing, is we need godly people in our life. That's the significance of being plugged into a church. That's the significance of why we are called to be a part of the church. The next thing I want to go through of why the church is so important in our walk with God is how we submit to godly leadership. And so I wanted to look into Hebrews 13:17, and I want to read that. It says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority." One of my favorite sayings, I actually heard this at CIY, Christ and Youth. It's a conference that we take our high schoolers to. One of my favorite sayings that I think about a lot is this dude said, "God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called." And let me just say that in this church, you have some leaders here that have been called. And they're not perfect, but they are wise in the way that they speak. And it's difficult to grow under somebody's leadership or kind of understand it and build that relationship when you bounce from church to church or you show up once every few months. And I know for some of you, the idea of submitting to anyone or submitting to anything can be vulnerable and scary and uncomfortable. You may have had a horrible experience with a church, and you vowed that you would never step foot in a church again. And I wanted to touch on that briefly, because there are so many people that get burned from the church, because again, the church is filled with flawed people. And it's not a surprise that if you had a bad experience in the church, like it just wouldn't be surprising. Churches are full of sinful people that are not perfect. God never wanted you to experience that. That is not what church is. God cares for you, and we are happy that you are here with us this morning. But that is why it is so important to find a church with Christ-minded leaders that speak the gospel, that is not their own opinion or thrash on their own emotion. But to say that you will never go back to a church because of a bad experience that you had, in my opinion, could be completely wrong, in my opinion, is like saying, "I'm never going to eat out at any restaurant ever again because I had a bad server one time or the food wasn't good." So the whole food industry, even HelloFresh, canceled. We're not doing this anymore. It doesn't make sense. Like, you cannot just give up on Jesus' bride because of a sinful person that blindly led you. You connect with a church that has godly leaders, and you have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. It is important to have godly leadership because you need someone to guide you and show you and display a Christian faith, because we all at times want to walk away from our faith. We get distracted. I'll sometimes wander away from my walk with Christ, and I need to have Christian leaders, Christian people in my life that are much wiser than me, which doesn't take a lot, that come alongside me and guide me from making a bad decision or walking away. You need that accountability and that guidance from our leaders and from our elders. And our elders do such a great job for us. I don't know if you've met any of the elders, but I would love, if you're an elder in here, I'd love for you guys to stand. If you're comfortable with that, that'd be rad. Yeah. And if you guys are a small group leader, right? Like if you guys lead a small group and you guys are a part of kind of like having people over at your house, I'd love for you guys to stand as well. If you guys host a small group or anything like that, yeah. This is what godly leaders that responded to a call, that are here to show love and encouragement to us, that are still growing in their faith constantly, but are helping us do that as well. And the biggest reason why you need to rely on godly wisdom from the leaders in the church is because we have an enemy whose goal is to distract us and move us away from it, to single us out and to make us wander from our faith. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." We need leaders and elders in our lives to guide us, so that way we don't get singled out, so that way we don't get devoured, because I know I've seen it too many times, and I'm sure that you guys have too. Whether for me it was friends that I had in the youth group that went to college that did not have godly leaders in their life, and they were singled out, they were distracted, and they were devoured, and now they walk around and do not call Christ their Savior. Or a family whose mom passed away, and they didn't have godly leaders in their life to show them guidance, and they ended up blaming God, they ended up blaming the church, and they are now resentful and just full of anger. We cannot forget the significance of what a godly leader's role in our walk with Christ looks like. And we can't do that alone. And the last point of why being in the church and being involved with the church is so significant is being a part of God's mission. This is where we use God's blessing and his gifts that he's given to us. I'm going to be in Romans, starting in chapter 12, verse 4. And it says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." And I know that a lot of us have kind of heard this verse, and we've heard this analogy where it's like, you know, are you a finger? Are you a foot? Are you an ear? I don't know. But we've all heard this verse and the idea that we each bring something to the table, that we each bring different things that God has blessed us with, whether it's a gift or a passion or a talent or just our desires. And we use them in the church to bring unity and to spread the word. And Paul continues and kind of goes through this idea in verse 6, kind of touching on a few of the gifts that you may have. And I wanted to read those super quick. He says, continuing in verse 6, "If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is to give, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully." And everyone has, that's just a few. Everyone has different gifts. And we are all valued, and we are all individuals that make up the body of Christ. And we each have different methods, but we all have the same goal. And that is to grow the body of Christ, to unify and be like how God made us. We bring our differences to the table when we come to church, when we know our gifts, when we bring that in and we say, "God, use us, use our gifts, take what we have. It is yours, and I want you to make it better. I want you to run with it." And if you are attending a church and not a part of a church, you're attending and you're not a part of one, and you sit here each Sunday and you don't use your gifts that God gave you, then it's just a waste. I'm sorry, but if you're good at leading, and your gift is leading, then we need leaders. If you're good with kids and your passion is teaching kids, then we need children's volunteers. If you're good with teens and you tolerate them, then we need youth volunteers. If your passion is meeting new people, then we need door holders. If your gift is coffee, then I'm sorry, you guys need to go somewhere else, because we got Miss Karen that kills it every Sunday. Oh yeah. I'm just kidding. We're glad you're here. But we need to stop attending and start being when it comes to the church. Because when we start pulling our gifts and our talents together, when we start unifying more and have Christ as the head of the church, we explode. We erupt and we reach those that are lost. And that's where we are able to love God and love the world and love others. Love cubed. And I'm tired of hearing about churches that argue and get political over things that don't necessarily matter, when there are people out there that have never heard the name of Jesus or don't know the name of Jesus or have a messed up view of who God is. When we could be using our gifts to change the lives of people and show them who the power of Jesus is. God has made us for so much more than just being alone, as being the body of Christ. So as we close, as I ask the band to come up, I just want to extend an invitation, or I guess more extend a conversation, to not just attend, but to walk with Christ alongside Christ, like Christ-minded people, to grow under godly leadership and to use your gifts at the church. And this doesn't mean that this is Two Rivers, right? Like, it doesn't mean that Two Rivers is your home, Two Rivers is your church, but it's time that we get plugged in and that we use our gifts to reach people who are lost in this broken world. And if Two Rivers isn't your church, we'd love to help you find one. We'd love to help you get plugged into another church. But the biggest thing that we cannot forget is who the head of the church is, and that is Jesus, who guides us and shows us what true unity looks like, what a true sacrifice looks like. And as we enter into this time of communion, I just want us to take a moment to reflect and to pray that in gratitude that we serve a God that desires us, that broke down any and every barrier that was put up so we can have community with him. And this week, my prayer for you is that you guys ask God what gifts you have, what talents were given to you, and how can you be more involved in reaching those? Because it is so hard to reach people by yourself, but together when we put our gifts and unify, we can do so much more. The bride that the Bible calls us to grow in and be a part of. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for this morning. I just thank you for just this time that we get to know you and understand you and just the scriptures that we were able to dive into. And I just pray, God, that we are able to just come alongside one another in unity and just in love. God, that we're just able to see the bigger picture, your bigger picture, and that is reaching those and growing deeper in our relationship with you. And I just pray that we're able to just feel your presence, feel your love in just this moment of communion, and God, that you just speak to us in ways that we may not understand. In Jesus' name, amen.